the merry-go-round broke down. We went round and round. Each time with his sweet feel a kiss while the merry-go-round went. The merry-go-round broke down and made the darndest sound. The lights went low, we both said, oh, and the merry-go-round went.
Hello, listeners in America. We hope you've been enjoying this musical cocktail coming to you from Berlin in the German Overseas Service. And now for a time check. At the sound of the gong, it was exactly 9 o'clock Eastern wartime. It is now time for our next news bulletin in English, which will be followed by a short commentary.
In short form, the invasion front. The German troops south of Kahr consolidated their positions and held them against all enemy attacks. American formations west of Saatloo continued to attack with strong forces. A small unit of 20 tanks penetrated to the Tennessee area. 45 tanks were destroyed west of Colmar yesterday. The new German weapons. The retaliatory fire on southern England on Wednesday was heavier than ever before. London reports disclosed. The London Daily Herald admits that the launching sites of the new German weapon are extremely hard to hit. A British paper published a government regulation which states that the craftsmen and building workers in southern England must work at least 65 hours per week. The war in Italy. All enemy efforts to break through the German position south of Florence were foiled. The Eastern Front. German troops continue to hold the city of Lvov against all Soviet attacks. The city of Lublin was lost after heavy fighting. 924 Soviet tanks were destroyed in 4 weeks fighting in the northern sector alone. The city of Narva was evacuated according to plan after all military installations had been destroyed. The war in the air. German torpedo planes sank a 4,000-ton tanker and heavily damaged other vessels totaling 25,000 tons. 42 American aircraft, including 35 heavy bombers, were destroyed by the German defenses when American air formations raided localities in southeastern Germany yesterday. Last night, enemy aircraft dropped bombs on Hamburg and Tuesday. 6 machines were shot down. Britain and the Poles. According to London reports, Winston Churchill has advised the head of the Polish puppet government in London to proceed to Moscow and negotiate with Stalin. Bolshevism of the Jews. The former French communist leader, André Marty, who is known as Algiers, demands that all important government positions in liberated France be given to reliable communists. An association for economic collaboration with the Soviet Union was founded in Tel Aviv in Palestine. The Jewish press announces that this association will also further Soviet interests in general. Social and economic items. German soldiers on leave
who desire to visit their evacuated families are entitled to financial assistance for this purpose, according to a new regulation by the German Army authorities. The head of the Department for Foreign Workers of the German Labor Front declares that the foreign workers in Germany are treated on the same level and receive the same food rations as the German workers. Dr. Goebbels' address, announcing an all-out intensification of Germany's war efforts, is headlined by all German newspapers today. Dr. Goebbels' statement that the necessities of total warfare will take precedence over all other needs in the life of the German nation is particularly emphasized. His call for more soldiers for the French and more workers for armament factories is another front-page feature, while his announcement that the mobilization of Germany's entire national working and fighting strength guarantees her ultimate victory is quoted with particular enthusiasm. German people welcome the fact that energetic measures are going to be taken to ensure that no manpower is wasted. Berliners who are best acquainted with Dr. Goebbels' energy and efficiency are confident that their doctor will handle this problem as well with his customary speed and matter-of-factness. That is the end of the news.
You may hear the next news bulletin at 10 o'clock Eastern wartime. And now you will hear an English version of the article published in the week's issue of Das Reich by Reichsmann to Dr. Goebbels under the title Surpassing the Enemy's Head Start.
Good evening, listeners in America. When, in September 1939, the Reich was forced to war by her enemies, she was in possession of newly organized and modernly equipped armed forces. These forces embodied a technical head start for us, due largely to the fact that in the Treaty of Versailles, the enemies themselves had destroyed our old army and thus made it necessary for us to start all over again. This superiority in arms was one of the reasons for our rapid victories in 1939, 40, and 41, for it enabled us to employ a grand scale and revolutionary type of warfare against which the enemy had nothing comparable to offer. Everywhere we were masters of the battlefield because our armed forces operated not only according to entirely new methods which contradicted all previous military experience, but also because they were equipped with the most modern technical arms. The so-called Blitz campaigns of the first war years completely revolutionized the military thought which had prevailed up to then. The Fuhrer, who had conceived and applied this new type of warfare, thus became a revolutionizing renewer of military strategy which had never suffered such a sudden break in its development as in 1939-40. An entirely new chapter of operational thought began at that point. It was inevitable that during any prolonged duration of the war, our enemy should copy the so-called German strategy of the Blitzkrieg. For that strategy was based more on new conceptions than on any new military secrets. This strategy had not complicated military thought, but simplified it. It was not difficult to follow the German example, therefore, since our methods could easily be deduced from our successes and their planning. Above all, it was easy to determine which weapons had played the major part in achieving the dramatic German success. In its offensive, the German Wehrmacht had made a far greater use of the motor, both on ground and in the air, than had ever been considered possible up to that time, and that was the basis for our speedy and widespread operation. There was nothing left for the enemy to do but to use the same methods and weapons against us, which they did, and that is the main reason for the negative character of our military development since 1942. For just as he had gained a head start over the enemy by having been forced by circumstances to rebuild our armed forces in the years from 1933 to 39, so the enemy now enjoyed the same advantage compared with us. In many fields, they had to start all over again, and were not bound to existing forms, which was unfortunately not the case with us. In addition, the enemy produced a few new but far-reaching inventions which revolutionized certain branches of modern warfare. For instance, the so-called Rotterdam apparatus, which enabled the enemy air force to fly over the Reich and, despite bad weather, roughly make out the outlines of such objectives as large cities. That was the cause of the enemy terror attacks on our cities during the past fall and winter. We are not ashamed to admit that the invention of the Rotterdam apparatus came more or less as a surprise to us, and that we have taken a long time to develop powerful defense means against night air attacks carried out with the assistance of that mechanism. The British will also need a long time, however, to develop similar countermeasures against the employment of our V-1 weapons. In this respect, therefore, the cases are now exactly reversed, and not by accident, but as a necessary result of the development of military techniques on both sides. We too, after recognizing the enemy's temporary superiority in certain fields, have had to start again from the beginning. We soon saw that we could not beat the enemy simply by outproducing them in their own sphere, but only by creating new means and methods. The necessity was not only to catch up with the enemy's head start, but to surpass it. That has been done in the most various fields during the course of the past 2 years. The results of this decisive development will begin to appear more and more on the battlefield. The employment of our V-1 weapon is only the introduction, and if it has already caused such a stir among the enemy, we can look forward with high hopes to further development. The decisive factor about this new development is that it will take place within a completely new framework, and therefore we can justly expect that the enemy will be faced with utterly new facts and in a state of unpreparedness. The essential advantage of our V-1 weapon is not so much that it is automatic, but that it has completely demoralized the enemy defense system. The same will be true of our other new weapons, which in the near future will be employed in the most various forms. Of course, every weapon has its counter weapon. The history of military development shows no example of the failure of such counter weapons to appear. But experience proves that it takes considerable time until such counter weapons can be discovered, and even longer time until they can be produced and employed. And this time is decisive. The significance of the normal waiting period we ourselves have experienced during the past 2 years of aerial warfare. We were forced to organize a considerable part of our national energy in order to cope with the difficulties resulting from it. If today, therefore, we are not all too far removed from the appearance of new weapons, the same difficulties will necessarily develop for Britain, which lies within easiest reach and deserves the severest punishment for its barbarous methods of aerial warfare. The technical results of our having surpassed the enemy in certain fields are in large part already in the production stage, and only a minimum still in the experimental stage. We would be ashamed to speak thus if the facts did not justify our so doing. Not long ago, we inspected modern German weapons, the sight of which not only made the heart beat faster, but for a moment caused it to stop beating. We do not say that in order to bluff or boast. We have always been certain of the justice of our cause, and consequently of its success, especially so during the critical phases of this war. We do not necessarily need the confirmation of technical science in order to convince us of the certainty of our coming victory. We believe in it because we believe in the German people. Furthermore, there are a number number of other historical grounds which relieve us of any doubt as to our final success. But it is inspiring, nevertheless, to see the firmness of our faith and views confirmed by hard facts, and that is the case in our honorable production today. It is more too much that we are on the way to overcoming once and for all the crisis in our military today, that we are on the way to overcoming once and for all the crisis in our military technique which has so hampered our warfare during the past 2 years. That took time, and it will take some more time until it has finally been completed. But we are no longer helpless in the face of the enemy onslaught or unable to do something about it. German inventive genius has stood the great test. The world has to wait a long time before it spoke up again, but soon the hour will come. It is also decisive that our production will be in a position to manufacture these inventions of our science in sufficient quantities. Here we have taken all possible precautions in order to guarantee that no vacancy should turn up. The enemy is laboring under a fateful illusion if they believe that their air attacks have so severely damaged our production apparatus that it is more or less incapable of new activity. Here, too, the company has been the mother of invention. By means of organized protective measures and grand-scale distribution, we have made our armament industry air-proof, a process with whose tremendous difficulties we are already familiar, but which Britain has yet to encounter. We evacuated Berlin in the summer of 1943. The British are now doing the same with London in the summer of 1944. Last year, we made the German armament industry safe against air attack. It will not be long until Britain is forced to do the same, only under far more difficult conditions. The enemy is not over the hill, as their leaders have so often claimed, but has just begun the climb. The development in the coming weeks and months will prove that. At any rate, we can look forward with confidence to what is coming. We shall not tire of repeating our opinion, furthermore, stated at the start of this worldwide struggle, that war is a historical event which can no more be decided alone by technical science than by political or economic or moral means. Only the collaboration of all these forces in a total war effort embracing the whole nation can lead to success. Never has a single weapon decided the victory. That would not only be nonsense, but contrary to all history. Weapons are but the outward demonstration of the manly spirit and substance of a people which is defending its life. They not only express its technical ingenuity, but also its unshakable firmness of conviction in the belief in its mission and way of life, as well as its gift for overcoming apparently insurmountable obstacles. The only difference between the present and the past in this respect is that now such developments are far more rapid, and whereas in earlier times they demanded a century, they now sometimes occur more than once in the course of a single war. That appears to be the case at the present time. It is clear that our enemies will leave nothing undone to destroy us, and therefore we dare leave nothing undone to prevent that, and where we can, to deal out blows of our own, not batting an eyelash at the blows which we receive in return. Each of us must try to surpass his neighbor in morale, in energy, in diligence, and firmness. Then these virtues, together with our arms, will gain the victory. The more difficult it is for us to achieve, the more firmly must we believe in it, and the more fanatically fight and work for it. The individual may fall, but not the flag. It waves over all our daily doings, over the heroic deeds and historical achievements of the great, as well as the silent beautifulness of the small. It does not wave in the puny breezes of daily events, but only in the great storm of history.
You have been listening to the English version of a weekly article published by Reichsminister Dr. Goebbels in Das Reich under the title Surpassing the Enemy's Head Start. It was translated and read for you by your Nazi commentator. We invite you to listen every week on Thursday at the same hour for the latest article by Dr. Goebbels, Germany's most authoritative spokesman. And now, dear listeners, we are presenting our usual Thursday evening feature program, Home Sweet Home. Thank you.
Now, if Jack turns, he's got 3 moments. 3 moments, he'd only disappear if he could have honey around. Well, maybe he'll be lucky enough one day.
Thank you.
course, it didn't like that piece. Well, they must be hard of hearing, is all I can say, because that was a grand allure interpretation of whole type. Well, I'm pretty sure that the forces did all the good, the whole type, but with all the opposition, you can't blame them if they did quite a lot and still are doing plenty of tricking, But this, I think the forces could only talk to you now, which they probably like to do. Sorry, I can't see you, and I see a little smiling face there. They asked me to give them an encore, which would be last night, sure you would. Well, let's go back to a time in musical history now, a little more remote than that of whole type. It's Paradise. Ever see any of them around the desert? You boys who are trying to hold down Prince of Africa? All right, here's a caravan for you.
Hey, this could be giving them the pleasure some very bad ideas. They'll just get all kind of woozy and would like to throw down their little guns and paddle off home. Well, it'd be the right thing for them to do after all, because they're certainly not making any headway in Scott's arrest now. Well, if we women had our way, there'd be no wars anyhow. I'm sure we're all part of this. Certainly, here is one. A little old Nick here is also one. Gee, I'd never have a war if I could do anything. And I think most of them are like that. Well, maybe not Dorothy Johnson. I do remember she once said, I'd willingly sacrifice 1 million American boys on foreign battlefields. Well, Miss Johnson, if you should be listening in tonight, well, I think you or your book have accomplished that little feat, haven't you? And the victory is for a man. Then a cute little blonde girl like you here, I with a grammar girl and the guy in the studio, well, she knows what the life's all about. And she wouldn't have done it in all these sorts of damn not things, no silly, not real. She said, I got $1 million to make my dreams come true. Well, Chris, if you'd only pick the good old thing to sing, they're the best in life. All right, sir, do you want a little time here?
make my dream come true.
Well, now listen, boys of the AEF, don't you think it would be nice to live a little more in the past? The world of the future is not much fun anyhow, is it? Or the present time, with such things as pilotless bombers floating around the world? I don't suppose the finding in exactly your idea of something greater than that. Well, so we will go backwards with that paradox calendar and the back to the good old days. Again, the officers began playing together. Yes, quite a long time ago, a book got a grand new interpretation of it. All right, then go to town with it.
Thank you.
there sure is no getting away from it. There's nothing but good old shoes. And I'm sure these horses appreciate them. The older they are, the more they love them. If you have another one, you're older than you. It's you. That's you. Day and night. And it's done by Jack and you.
This is the General Service transmitting to North America. now. Give a penny.
Thank you.